Jared, thanks so much for stopping by today. Much appreciated. And good morning. How's Jared Bednar today?
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm doing all right. You know, just trying to stay busy like everybody else.
Yeah, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for the head coach of the Avalanche, staying busy?
Well, I'm kind of just picking away at a bunch of different things. I have a house renovation going on. Here in Denver, bought a house last year and still have yet to get in there, and working on some shopping online for that, putting some finishing touches on, reading books, binge watching TV, taking the dog for long walks with my daughter, you know, just kind of busy work, helping out around the house is, you know, with a bunch of different things that I don't normally get to do because we're on the road and traveling.
Berkey?
Yeah, hey, Jared, thanks for joining us. I got to ask you, I was going through your resume last night, and I pointed out, and I was a forward, by the way. We don't think defensemen are very smart, but I was a forward.
Yeah.
How come so many coaches, quality coaches, were defensemen? Is it just because you have to learn the game a little bit more, a little deeper? You were a defenseman.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure about that, but I think that, you know, for me, it was, you know, trying to survive at the highest level that I could play at. So most of my career was played in the ECHL. I had a couple stints in the American League and one in the IHL, and I was a bubble player at those levels. So, you know, just trying to do everything I could to survive and stay at the level, at the highest level possible and playing, so the details obviously matter. And trying to learn different things that would help my game, and just trying to be in tune to do everything I could to help the team win. You start paying attention to those things and listening to the coach a little bit more because some of the talent wasn't there. And again, just trying to add to my toolbox every day. And then when I started coaching, it was similar. Just trying to, you know, dig into different areas that find that help a team win or help players get better. To me, it was just, you know, that attention to detail that kind of led me into the coaching part of it.
Well, it's funny. We want to interview you and not talk about me, but I had four rules. I talked about this with Jeff on the show before. Like, I didn't start playing hockey until I was 13. So I had four rules that I lived by, and three of them you just touched on, which was one was attention to detail, be a coach's dream, like never be out of position, do everything right. Think the game perfectly. Number two, be the hardest worker on the ice, practice and games. Number three, be a dream teammate, like be a teammate that guys wanted around. And number four was play tough. You did all of those things because, you know, when you played, like you had good PIMS. Like you say, you were a bubble guy at the AHL level. And we're going to turn back to your coaching career in just a minute, but you played tough too. You had big PIMS everywhere you played.
Yeah, well, it was just one of those things. I think, you know, being, you know, especially at the American League and International League level, it was something that I had to do or something that I could provide to our team in order for me to be able to stay there, get in the lineup, earn more minutes, help build trust. And again, it was part of that. You know, I considered myself a good team guy, so it was just doing whatever I could to help some of our teammates or take care of some of our teammates out there was something I was able to do. I'd say I didn't love doing it at times, but it was something that I felt the team needed or that could help out our other guys in our team. So I did it. So it's just was my way of a little bit of sacrifice to be able to help teammates around me, maybe play more confident or better in certain situations. So I did it. And my teammates give me confidence to do that. And, you know, there was a lot of times where I really did enjoy it, too, as well.
Okay, so you finished playing. Take us through, like, we're trying to walk people, our listeners, through the career of a coach. How do you get to be a head coach in the NHL? It's not the same route for everybody. It's not the same path. What was your first coaching job?
So it was in the ECHL with the team that I played most of my career with, in with the South Carolina Stingrays. So when I got done in playing in the American League for a couple of years and International League for a year, I went back to the ECHL in Charleston, South Carolina, playing for the Stingrays. I was lucky to sort of fall into a real good group of players there, that some that were still there from my previous stint.
decided that's where I was going to continue to play, settle down, buy a house instead of moving all the time and going up and down and bouncing around to different teams. So I was playing down there. Jason Fitzsimmons, who's a scout for the Caps, goes from our goalie to assistant coach to head coach, and you know, I was getting late in my career, about 30 years old. I now had a son, you know, trying to think about my future, bought some real estate, and he offered me a coaching job to be his assistant. So, you know, I pondered that for a little bit. I was going to play for another year or two and decided to pack it in and start coaching. I was with him for 5 years there.
Hang on, let me interrupt you, Jared. What did you make your first year as an assistant coach?
$30,000.
We're asking all the coaches this. It's hilarious. John Tortorella's first job, he made $6,000 coaching in Virginia in the Atlantic Coast League. So we're asking a lot of guys that. So, okay, $30,000 as an assistant coach in North Charleston, South Carolina.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, now keep walking us through. What's the next level you coached at?
So that was 5 years as an assistant. Since he moved on, I took over the head job. Real fortunate to recruit a great team down there, and we won my second year.
Kelly Cup, right?
Kelly Cup, yep. And I started getting some offers to go to the American League. I went out to Abbotsford when Calgary moved their American League team there. Assistant coach for Jim Playfair, went in there for a year. They had a real good, hard-working team. You know, great identity to our group. It was a young team. We got in the playoffs. You know, it was we considered that year a success. It was a fun year moving back to Canada and coaching out there in Abbotsford with the Flames. And then I got a head coaching offer in Peoria American League with the Blues organization.
So St. Louis had their affiliation there in Peoria. You were at Peoria as a head coach.
Yeah.
How long there?
I was there for 2 years, and then I got let go. So that was the step back, or disappointing, you know. I really enjoyed it there, and I ended up getting let go. And so I started calling around. It was later, into the summer. It was right around the time the Stanley Cup was being handed out. And so I went, started putting my name out to other American League jobs, head coaches. It seemed like there was a lot of openings, and I called around to the GMs, and there wasn't anything available. So I went to Columbus's organization as an assistant in Springfield.
In Springfield, Mass?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and who was the head coach there?
Brad Larson.
So Brad Larson, so this, what season is this now? Stay with this with me.
Well, I've been here four, and I was with the Columbus before that. So I was an assistant for two or three, and then a head coach there for two or three. So go back 5-6 years, four, 7-8 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Springfield.
I went back to be an assistant coach for a couple of years, and then Lars went up to Columbus as an assistant coach, and I took over as a head coach in Springfield for a couple of years, and then they picked us up and moved us to Cleveland, where we had a real good season and
won a Calder Cup there. Yeah, so you won a Kelly Cup, and you won a Calder Cup in Cleveland. That was a good team. I saw that team play.
Really good team. Yeah. Great leadership. You know, Ryan Craig, he's the assistant coach in Las Vegas, was our captain, veteran guy. We had a really good group of young players, first and second and some third-year guys from Columbus. Most of those guys all playing in Columbus now, guys like Josh Anderson, Bjorkstrand, Werenski, really good team there. And I just had a phenomenal run at the end of the year and through the playoffs.
Well, that's great. I'll let Justin ask a question here. I've been dominating things here, but we've been trying with each of the coaches to let listeners follow their path to get there. It's not an easy job to do. There's only 31 of them. Not that easy to get. It took you quite a while to get there, but you're doing a great job. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, hi, Jared. Justin Bourne. I was actually on the Marlies coaching staff when you were in Lake Erie, and one thing that we would do after we play, or sorry, when you're in Cleveland, thing that we would do is look at your guys' game tape, and you guys had such good sticks all over the ice, like your decor constantly, good sticks, stick on puck, and we had such trouble dealing with that when we would play you guys. I wonder a lot about the details, and you mentioned, you know, you yourself didn't play in the NHL, and nor did I, and so to be a coach, you have to pay attention to a lot of those little details. I wonder how you enforce those sort of things at the NHL level, and how it is as a coach that you would have it be that your team would be that much better at something as minuscule as a detail like that.
Oh yeah, like that is such an underrated, you know, like when you're talking about coaching, you start looking at structure all the time and the compete level of your team, and every team works so hard as you move up in the American League, National Hockey League, and the details of the sticks is just, you know, when you go in and play a team and you're trying to make plays and you just can't seem to execute because their sticks are so good, how hard it is. Two of the things that we like to stress here, especially, number one is that, you know, stick position, stick on puck, and then still being able to play physical through that. And the second one is talk. Like we've been, I would say we, and you look at some veteran teams when they come into your building. Boston really stood out to me this year. Doesn't surprise me. They are where they are in the standings because of their skill level and their competitiveness, but the details and the talk in their game. Communication eliminates confusion, and it just helps sort things out. And they have some veteran guys in their team that you can even watch them in practice, and there's a constant noise and chatter on the ice. It helps teams play through difficult times or times of chaos, and that's another one that we're really trying to get better at as a group as we mature here and get a little bit older and get a little bit more experience. So it's just driving home those things that you feel are important to your team in practice, and trying to get those guys to, you know, it starts with your leadership, just trying to get them to buy into that and give good examples of it. If you can catch them on video where guys are pointing and talking, and just keep trying to sell the things that you feel are important to your team and be consistent with it if you can.
With Colorado Avalanche head coach Jared Bednar, you're listening to Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. There have been a couple of players, most recently on your team, Andrei Burakovsky and Valeri Nichushkin, come to mind right away. Players that we always looked at and said, there is so much potential there. When is it going to come out? And it certainly came out this season with you, your team, the Avalanche. What's the secret ingredient? Like, what's the magic formula? Andre, Washington Capitals fans are pulling their hair out saying, where was that Burakovsky? Dallas Stars fans are saying, where was that Nichushkin? Jared, what did you do with these players?
You know, I don't know that it's anything special. I really don't. I think part of it is opportunity. If you look at, say, the Washington Capitals and guys they have in certain positions and on certain lines where, you know, they play in these elevated roles because of the trust factor and the ability to constantly produce. Okay, so you get a young guy like Burakovsky, and I'm speculating here, that you get a young guy like Burakovsky that's brought up through the system, and you know, as young players, consistency can be an issue. They start working through those, and they get to a point where they've kind of settled into a role, and there's guys playing above them in different situations. And then it becomes possibly time to move on, and he comes to us. He's a more mature player now. He understands a little bit more of what he has to do, and he has a shot to grab a position that maybe someone was playing ahead of him with in Washington. We have the opportunity for him. With some of our injuries at the start of the year, Landeskog, Rantanen, we elevated these guys right away, and they did a good job. They were thirsty for the opportunity. We gave it to them. they're in a new organization, their second stop, and they've made the most of their opportunity. But again, they're likely more mature players now than they were with their first organization. So consistency for Nikushkin has been amazing. So every day he's been an impact player for us, using his size and speed, and you can tell he has ability. And then, you know, I think, you know, coming off last year, took him a while to score this year, and then he just got confidence and just started playing his game.
Yeah, you're downplaying that, but he went all last season without a goal, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's almost impossible.
It was wearing on him a little bit this year, too, at the start of the year. He must have had, you know, 8 to 10 breakaways or glorious one-on-one chances with the goalie, and he hadn't scored. And when he got his first, you could just see that the confidence started to come for him, and away he went. And, you know, it's just fitting in and feeling comfortable with the group that you're in, with your role. And both those guys have been real, real consistent for us. You know, Burakovsky's run into some injury trouble here as of late, but I mean, this is a guy that we just tried to encourage him to shoot the puck. He's got such a great shot. The more he shoots it, the more he's going to score, is the way we see it. And he's putting himself into those situations and finishing off opportunities, which you know, helps grow confidence.
Listen, we wish we had more time. Go ahead, Justin. Last question to you.
Yeah, I was just wondering if with this time, I know one of the things with coaching is that you're on to the next game, on to the next game, on to the next game. I was wondering if with this break, there's anything that you're able to do that you wouldn't have had time in season to look at, any sort of projects that you're able to work on with the extra time.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you're right, when you get into the season, it's review, break down your game, review it, show what you need to move on to the next night. There's just no break in the schedule. So I found, you know, instead of letting things get away from you, to do a little bit of a review at that bye week all-star break, take some time, get refreshed mentally, and then start digging into some projects. So putting together numbers at where you're at, like with your goal scoring, and you get analytics coming at you all the time too in the regular season, but you just don't have a lot of time to dig into some more extended projects that might be able to help your team, say, down the stretch runner in the playoffs for this year. So I dug into a couple things over some special team stuff over the break, and some 5-on-5 things, and started comparing some numbers and taking a look at a few things, and some I shared with their team, some I didn't, you know. And but it's nice to have that knowledge in your back pocket. And so we're going to do the same thing here over this break. I'm still in the sort of mental break of this, because it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. And then I have a couple things that I'm wanting to look at here over the next few weeks, and make sure that we're dialed in when this thing kicks back up, if it kicks back up.